We invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two passages of Scripture, relatively small, Proverbs 22 and 6, and then 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Now, we've been in a series of messages entitled Family Life, and what we've been looking at is the elements of a godly home, working towards understanding God's design for each of our families, so that our homes would give honor and glory to Him. Now, this morning, I want to add some of those elements. This message is really built on the other messages, so it's somewhat accumulative. But here we want to talk about training for gratitude. We're approaching Thanksgiving, and I think so it's an appropriate subject for us to consider, but I trust as you think this through, you'll understand that it's more essential maybe than we often think, that our hearts would be filled with thanksgiving, that the virtue of gratitude would be a part of our lives, and that we would teach both ourselves and our children these things. So with that in mind, look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's a passage you're familiar with. Teach a child about the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we're going to come back and look at that text, but also look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Rejoice always, pray consistently, give thanks in everything. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pause and ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Lord, this morning we want to come before You, and we're asking that Your Spirit would instruct us in these truths. Lord, we desire to give thanks in everything. But Father, we'll confess that we struggle with that. We struggle with it in our own lives, to have this heart of gratitude that we know that You would desire for us, that You taught us, even as You walked among us on the earth, You showed us what thanksgiving was. Lord, remind us of the importance of it this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we know, you and I know, that God has brought everything good into our lives. Do you understand that? That He is the author of everything good, that Jesus, in fact, said He came. He came to this world that we might have life and that we might have it in abundance. We know that He's given us this life. We know He's given us salvation. We know that He's given us even material possessions and relationships. Our very breath comes to us from God. We know all of these things, yet so very often we struggle to be grateful, to give thanks. Isn't it a strange thing? Now, we're pretty quick to recognize ingratitude in others. We're sensitive to it in our own children. We're even more sensitive to it in somebody else's children, right? We know what that looks like. We often miss ingratitude in our own hearts. And it may be that oftentimes it's because of the circumstances that we're in that we find ourselves saying, with all of these bad things that have been happening to me, how can I be thankful? And you're not alone in that attitude. It's prevalent in our culture. Most people find it much easier to be full of complaints than to be full of thanks. You know, I used to think that people who complained a lot really were people that were simply surrounded by a lot of bad circumstances. But I've come to discover the truth, and that is that people find themselves in difficult circumstances because they complain often. I challenge you to think that through this morning for yourself. You see, without gratitude in your heart and in your mind, you will not see the good things that God has provided you. I didn't prepare this, but I'll ask you to imagine. If I had a bowl of sand, and in that sand were metal filings, I could run my fingers through it all day looking for them and not be able to discover them. They would blend in so well. But if I took a bar magnet and ran it through the sand, it would immediately draw those metal filings to itself. In the same way, gratitude works in our hearts. Gratitude draws out, enables us to discover and to see the good things that God is doing. But when we don't have it, when we don't possess it, we don't see the good things that God is doing. I mean, it's just like running your hands through that sand with the metal filings. You won't see it unless a heart of gratitude is there. Further, I would say to you this morning that thankfulness and gratitude are nothing less than the key to happiness in life. All happy people are grateful people. The Bible teaches us it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good. It's a good practice because it's good for you as well. It's right because God has blessed us. But it's good for you also. We were created to bring glory to God through worship and thanksgiving. And that heart of worship is a heart of gratitude. Because this is true, it is thankfulness that will bring joy into your life. God created you for that. And when you begin to live out what God created you for, you will experience the joy and happiness of life that God intended for you. So Paul would write, "Rejoice always. Pray, be in communion with the Father consistently. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's what God desires for you, that you would give thanks in all things, that you would rejoice in Him. Complaining is the polar opposite of thanksgiving. When we yield to complaining, when we give in to complaints, it's like pouring sand into the fine gears of an expensive watch. Because you were created for thanksgiving. It's destructive to your soul. Brother and sister, it's my prayer that you would know God's best. That you'd walk in the joy of His presence in your life, that you would rejoice in the good things that He has done for you, His great grace that He has given to you. And that's why I would have you to see the importance of gratitude in your heart. I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to learn to give thanks. To learn it. We must learn this truth for ourselves and teach it to our children, train our children to be grateful. Paul would write to the Philippian church. He says, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself in. I know how both to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and in all circumstances, I have learned the secret of contentment." It's a virtue that you are to learn, that you discipline yourself in. Contentment, gratitude, thankfulness. To the church in Colossae, Paul would also write, "Therefore, as you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord, so live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, to abound in thanksgiving." So as Paul was among the church in Colossae, he taught them these principles. And among those things that he taught was that they should abound in thanksgiving. It's to be taught. It needs to begin by teaching ourselves to be thankful, to tune ourselves to what God is doing and the good things that are in our life, and to not just see them, but proclaim them, to give thanks to speak of those things. For in doing so, in your home, you're teaching your children. I want us to look at that Proverbs passage as Solomon is training us, teaching us how to train our family, how to establish that godly home. And in those words, he's teaching us that effective training really must have a clear goal. Training always has a goal in mind. Right? So it begins by saying, train a child. Train your children. Train them when they're young. Now, in the first weeks of this series, we looked at the biblical instruction that children are an inheritance from the Lord, meaning they are a gift from Him. They are His first. They are our stewardship, our responsibility, and we are to nurture them. And we also, as we looked at the Psalms, we saw that we're to nurture them, that we're aim them to the target like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, or children born to us when we're young. And in that passage, the psalmist is saying that these children that God has given us possess a great potential, that we are stewards of that great potential, and therefore we must train them intentionally. Right? We are to aim them with a goal in mind, with a target before us. Training always has a goal in mind. You train a Marine, you train a pilot, you train a doctor with a goal, a clear goal in mind. So we as parents must do with our children. It's like a building project. So you're building a house. You have a design in mind as you build the house. You contract different skills to come in and perform certain parts of that project. But you don't say to them, hey, to the plumber, hey, just put the pipes wherever you want. It'll all work out in the end. No, you don't do that. It wouldn't work out in the end. There's got to be a plan. And you got to have a goal in mind, a design. And you're involved in every phase. And so it is with the raising and the training of your children. You are to be involved in every stage because you're training them for a purpose. What are the goals that you have on your heart for your children? How are you directing them? How are you pointing their lives? What do you want for them? Well, for some parents, as you look at the activity of their home, you'd think, well, what they're training their child for is to be, you know, a star athlete. Well, that's a good thing, I guess. Or maybe they're training their child to be to be top of their class. Or maybe they're training their child to have all the nicest things. Well, as good as all that might be, none of those things are going to bring lasting joy into their lives. So the goal that I had for my children when they were children was that they would know that their parents loved them, that they would know that God loved them, that they would know of His great salvation, that they would desire to serve Him with their lives, and that they would be grateful. Because I know those things bring lasting joy to life. So I'm asking you, Mom and Dad, what are the goals that you have for your children? Not just what's in your head, I mean, just what you think about what you want for them, but no, what are you actually investing in their lives for? What are you actually training them for? To train them, you have to have a goal in mind. What is that goal? What does it look like? And then as you consider that, remind yourself that before you can train your children, you have to train yourself. If you had come this morning to understand the value and the importance of gratitude, and you would say, that is something that I want to train my child towards, is that they would have a heart of gratitude, then the first question you have to ask is, do I have a heart of gratitude? What do my children learn from me? How am I training them in my daily life and the words that I use? Are they more likely to hear from my mouth complaints or thanksgiving? Because that's what you're teaching them. And notice the text says, train up a child. I think the point here is start early. Time, parents, your time is very short. I mean, you may think when your children are young that you're never going to get through these dirty diapers. But I'm telling you, it happens quick. I'm telling you from experience, you have little time. Cherish it. You know, and as a parent is looking back on their parenting days, you know, I cherish those times, those memories of times around the table with our family, of doing devotions together or praying before bed. Those days slip by so fast. Take every opportunity you have to train your children when they're young. Because pretty soon they become teenagers. And you find yourself being a taxi cab driver, and you can't corral them around the table very often anymore because they have social schedules that are hard to manage. I mean, it just gets busy. Train your children. This biblical principle, speaking of giving your children an appetite for the things of God, for worship, for reading His Word, for prayer, and for service. The training must be an intentional activity that creates an appetite in the lives of your children. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. The word for train in the Hebrew is the word literally for palate. In your mouth, your palate. It means to create an appetite for. That's why I use that word, because it really is closest to the original language. And the idea is how a mother would wean her child, how she'd begin to give that child an appetite for food. She would train him. The way she would do it is that as she's eating her food, she would pre-chew some of that food and then take a little bit of it on her thumb and massage it into the palate of the baby's mouth so that the baby begins to develop an appetite for good things. So the child will be able to discern by taste things that are good and healthy and things that are not. You train a child. And this same picture is very, very appropriate for all the aspects of the training that we do as a parent. We train a child out of our own life. We begin to give them the appetite we have for the things that we're passionate about. And by the way, your children already know what you're passionate about. Maybe even sometimes better than you do. In fact, maybe a good exercise might be just to ask your child sometime, what do you think is really important to Dad? Their response might surprise you. Might not be what you want to hear. Your children watch you closely, even when you're not aware of it. They know what's important to you, and they know what you have a desire for. Now, you may say, well, it's my family that's important to you. But your child may think something else. You see, the currency of a child is time and affection. So it's how much time you spend with them. That's what adds up. You may think, well, hey, God's important to me. But does your children see that? It's kind of the typical schoolyard setting where the boys were debating about whose father was best. And in the discussion, they were highlighting who their fathers knew. And one of the boys said, well, my dad knows the mayor. Another boy said, well, my dad knows the principal of our school. The other boy said, well, my dad knows God. Can your child say the same? Your children know what's important to you. And along those lines, I would say to you again that this concept of gratitude, thankful heart, contentment, these are things that can be taught. You teach yourself, you teach your children how to give thanks to God. You must do this. Romans 1 gives the warning if we don't. Paul writing says, yes, they knew God, but they would not worship Him as God or even give thanks to Him. And so they became foolish in their own thinking, developing their own ideas of what God was like. And the result was that their minds became dark and confused. Paul's describing the person who knows about God, knows of the things of God, but has chosen not to give thanks, and as a result, their mind becomes darkened to the things of God. It's just like I said in the beginning, if you don't have a heart of gratitude, you're not going to see the good things of God. Mom and Dad, it's your responsibility. So start early. Start with a goal in mind. And understand that genuine gratitude comes from an understanding that God has uniquely created us. God gave us life. God's given us all good things. That next section of the text is intriguing. Train up a child in the way he should go. In the way. That's the way we translate it into English. It kind of sounds like, in English, that what it means is you grab a child by their ear and you send them down the road which you think is best for them. That's not what it means at all, though. In the original language, the word way here is the word derek in Hebrew. And it actually means according to their way. Not your way as a parent, but their way. What it's speaking to is the fact that God has created each child uniquely. And if you're a parent of more than one child, you know that's true. They're just as different as they can be. Well, God created them uniquely. And so the role and training of a child is not just beating into them the things that you think they should be, but it is discerning, understanding, learning who God created them to be. Helping them to figure out who God created them to be. So parents were challenged with responsibility to know. And actually the word way is according to their, it's not really way, it's according to their bend is the literal meaning. And in every child, there's good bends and bad bends, right? We're all developed immediately a bad bend in our life. It comes to us from, well, usually from the wife's family someplace way back there. I don't know. No, they inherit it from us, that bent towards sin. And so as we train a child, we recognize those bad bends and we have to train that out. That's part of the responsibility, the discipline in the home, a godly home, is to recognize and to speak of the things that are godly and good and right and to recognize those things that are wrong and sin. And they're labeled as such, they're recognized. We discipline our children that rebel. But they do it naturally. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach them how to steal, how to lie. It just comes natural. But you do have to teach them not to. It requires that we're observant and that we're faithful and dedicated. But we also must discover their good bends, the character and the talents and the abilities that God has given them naturally so that we can cultivate that and nurture that in them, to train them up in the way that they should go. Help them discover who God made them to be. That is why it is so vitally important, Mom and Dad, that you understand that you are to never compare your children to one another. That is dangerous. Why? Because God created them uniquely. You don't say to them, why aren't you more like your brother? You know, why don't you get good grades like your sister? Because when you do, you're damaging their soul. You're damaging who God created them to be. They're not like their brother. Matter of fact, they know they're not like their siblings. They're very sensitive to that. So put it together. What the Scripture is teaching you is that you are the one who's responsible, that you are to start early, that you are to train up your child in the way that they should go, that the person that God made them to be. But understand that the best training ground for all of this to happen, and the best training ground for gratitude in their heart, is in a godly home, a God-centered home. So you establish that environment. We've been talking about that environment. And in that, we've talked about the importance of personal discipline on the parts of mom and dad, that we're careful to walk closely with the Lord. We need His help. We need His grace. We need His wisdom to train them. That we're careful to love one another in our home and to display affection between husband and wife. That we establish clear rules and boundaries. But these are all important to a godly home, a God-centered home, consistent discipline. But there's a couple other elements we haven't talked about, and I need to add them to that list. And that, when it comes to training of our child, is so very important that we both display and honor unconditional love. For often as parents, we want to give love as a response to, well, when the child pleases us, we give them love. But aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father doesn't deal with us that way? That He loved us unconditionally? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That even when we rebel, He loves us and draws us back to Himself. It's unconditional love. It's agape love. And it's the love that we're to both demonstrate and express to our children, that they might know God's love. And then also, mom and dad, a godly home and being godly parents mean you demonstrate the characteristics of God to your children. One of those is that you always keep your promises. God always keeps His promises. I need to say to you, Dad, and to Mom, when you make promises to your children, keep them. It's essential. In fact, it's a good idea from time to time just to ask them, because you're not going to remember, but just to ask them, did I not keep a promise with you at some time that you remember? I'll tell you. If you didn't, they will remember it. Right then. See, so often we might say something to a child that when I get home from work tonight, we'll do such and such. And your day gets busy and you have a lot of activities and you have things you need to get done. And so when you get home, you immediately jump into those things you need to get done. You forget all about what you promised your child. But that child didn't forget about it. They've been thinking about it all day. And when you don't keep that promise, it becomes a wedge in their spirit. And you need to, as mom and dad, you need to deal with that. And you need to be transparent enough and willing enough to say, I'm sorry, to ask your child to forgive you when you fail on a promise. But God never fails on promises towards us. So this is something we have to learn as parents, to be consistent in the things that we say and to honor what we say, to bring honor into our home. Because we want to train our children in gratefulness. So you have to have the right environment for it. And the godly home provides a secure launch pad for life, so that when he is old, he will not turn from it, is the statement. Again, here the word old doesn't mean elderly. The word old simply means adult. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to grow facial hair. So when your child, when your young man grows facial hair, that's what he's talking about. That your job is, when that child is young, to begin to Help them to understand who God created them to be and how to be thankful and grateful to the God who loves them, and then to teach them how to serve Him so that when they become old enough, they will desire that for themselves. They will enter into that service of the Lord themselves. Like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. Well, for the arrow to hit the mark, the warrior has to release it. Every parent needs help here. We need the help that only God can give us. He is our Heavenly Father, and He teaches us of what it means to be a godly parent. To learn how to trust Him. To learn how to release your children. I don't think anybody ever taught us, Cindy and I, how difficult it was to release your children. How to be parents of adults, right? We always thought that being parents of teenagers was going to be the hardest part. That's not necessarily true. It's very difficult as a parent to let go and maybe to watch your children make bad decisions from time to time. None of my kids made bad decisions, but there's always the danger of being the preacher. You can't use your family too closely as an example. But the reality is, it's tough, right, as mom and dad to let go. But it's part of what being a parent is. They're not ours to hold forever. They're ours to train and to build within their heart a desire for the things of God and to release them into His service. Jesus taught us how to give thanks. In fact, He instructed us in the observance of the Lord's Supper. And again, in the original language, in the Greek, that word is the word Eucharist. And the word Eucharist means to give thanks. It is a thanksgiving meal, the Lord's Supper is. Wednesday night, as we gather, that's what we're going to focus on, is remembering the sacrifice of our Lord and giving thanks. Jesus taught us this is an important part of who we are in Him, that we have thankful hearts. Because gratitude opens the door to joy. Brother and sister, I desire that for your life, for your home, for your children. Understand, it's our responsibility to teach that virtue under the instruction of God's Word. May God bless you in it. Would you join with me as we pray? Father, we thank You for Your Word, and this morning as we consider these things, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would help us to discern the attitude of our own soul when it comes to thanksgiving. Help us to honestly ask ourselves, are we more likely to complain than to give thanks? Are we more aware of the hardship or the difficulty? Or are we content in Your love where we can see the good things that You've given us, and we can do it with a grateful heart? Lord, we pray this morning that You would change us. Lord, that we would repent of our ingratitude. Lord, that we let Your Spirit change us and prepare us. And as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, that we would remember how truly important it is that we give thanks to You. Oh, Lord, we thank You for the salvation You've made available in Jesus. We thank You that you have given it, You've extended it to us, You've invited us to it. And Lord, we pray for others who have not heard it, that are living in that darkness because they have not given thanks to You. Lord, we pray that You'd call them to Yourself, that You'd use us as a light of hope to them, that they would hear our gratitude and that they would be drawn to it to know You. Change us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We come.